Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? It's Link. He's Real Talk back with another episode, number 92.
So I saw a huge announcement. Well, actually, it wasn't an announcement. I won't even call it that. Well, yo, what up, Lee?
Yo, what up, Keys? What's going on, bro?
I was getting a little bit, you know, I was one step ahead of myself right there. I had to just backtrack for a second and just get back. I didn't properly introduce the show 100%, so I forgot to even say what up. How you doing today?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there, man. Just got work, man. Going through Twitter right now to see what MMA news I have missed out on other than what we're about to talk about. You know, I hope it doesn't happen, but, you know, let's get into it.
Yeah, so then I just kind of slipped up saying is that it's not actually an announcement. I put the headline, you know, Jones versus Miocic. So, okay, anybody who's listening right now, they didn't announce the fight, but John Jones versus Stipe Miocic. Okay, so there's rumors. There are some rumors circulating and that's the fight. And I haven't heard anything about actual negotiations about it. And I feel like if there were negotiations going on for that fight, I would have heard about that by now. But I haven't heard anything like that. Just, you know, rumors about just the idea of the fight and what would be the stipulations. I've heard, you know, things like that going around. I've heard some things about a possible interim heavyweight title, which, oh my God, that's I don't like that. You know, I'll just be honest, I don't like that at all. But I mean, in the fight itself, I just wish, you know, if we were going to get that fight, I just wish it would just be at 205. And then Jones, you know, if Stipe wanted to go to 205 and fight Jones, that would be okay. But I just want to see Jones fight at 205. I really don't care to see him move up to heavyweight. I don't think – I never really was interested in that. How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm going through Twitter, and one of the people that I follow, that's a rap podcast, he says, actually he said this about 28 minutes ago, still huge speculation concerning the Jones-Miocic fight, both mutually agreeing to the fight. Me personally, man, I think Stipe should get his rematch with DC. I think the UFC is trying to force John up to heavyweight. I would rather see him fight, you know, see him fight Santos, then maybe Reyes, then maybe Walker, and then, you know, with Rockhold, maybe clean out the 205 division, and then make his decision on whether he wants to go at the heavyweight instead of the UFC, basically, for lack of a better word, forcing him to go up to the heavyweight. You know, they probably offer him a ton of money to fight Stipe at heavyweight. But I just don't like this fight, man. I think it's just so disrespectful to Stipe, man. It's like Stipe should be able to – I think he should be able to fight DC. Let's kick the bucket on this Brock Lesnar BS. Because that's not even a good fight. That's a fight people don't even want to see. So, I don't know, man. I think this is one of those International Fight Week fights that, you know, they're trying to basically make for the casual fan because the casual fan is into the super fights. I just think the UFC is just doing bad all around when it comes to how they're handling Stipe right now. If I was advisor Jones, I would tell him stick at 205. I wouldn't want him going up to heavyweight basically for an interim heavyweight belt. And why is there even going to be an interim heavyweight belt when they're also saying DC and Lesnar are going to be on the same card? So that makes no sense. So we'll see what happens, man. Hopefully all this is smoke and mirrors. I don't really care for it, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, the thing is this. So, like you said, you know, Miocic, I thought he was going to keep campaigning for the rematch with Daniel Cormier, and most, you know, most people think that he still deserves a rematch. You know, I just, you know, I got to a point where I felt like it wasn't doing him any good just sitting around and collecting ring rust, not fighting. So I just wanted to see him fight somebody, and it didn't seem like Cormier was really wanting to fight Stipe again. So you don't really know if Cormier would be willing to sign the dotted line unless all else failed. And he, you know, I just think we would have saw a more focused Cormier if, you know, in terms of the Stipe fight, if there weren't other things on the table. But since that we saw a more, you know, a more negligent Cormier, I don't know if that's the right word, yeah, kind of a negligent Cormier where he just, in terms of Stipe, he just kind of brushed him off. You know, I would think that is or was a reflection of the fact that there are other possible deals on the table for Cormier right now. If he didn't have anything else, I think he would have been sounding more competitive, like, okay, if I knocked you out once, what makes you think I can't do it again? Instead of saying, if I knocked you out once, what makes you think the second time would be any different? So, I don't know. I mean, those things, I guess, you know, there's many ways to look at it, but I guess, an equally big fight with John Jones, it is, you know, just as enticing to Stipe Miocic. The one thing about it, though, is that if Miocic was just going to sit on the sidelines and then wait almost a year of, like, being inactive and then come back to fight John Jones, I don't know, man. That seems kind of like – that's kind of a little crazy to me. I mean, what – like – I would have wanted to see him take another fight first and get his confidence back before you go and fight this guy. Like, I mean, you want to take off like 9 months basically, and then, well, eight, nine. Well, I mean, by the time that happens, he would have taken off a year because they're talking about fighting in July. So basically, Stipe, you want to take off a year and then come back and fight the pound for pound number one. I mean, I don't know, man. That just seems. I mean, I'd watch it, but you know, the thing is this, is that, you know, the other thing is this too. And this is something that I read the other day that really killed me. Somebody on Twitter said, they said that back in the day when you know, the BJ Penn, you know, in his prime, GSP, you know, Forrest Griffin, all these guys, like at this time, you know, when you had all these guys in different divisions, you would want to see, you know, Anderson Silva, GSP, catch weight fight or whatever, you know, at the time when you just had so many like all time greats as champions at the same time in that era, when you were seeing, you know, BJ Penn and GSP super fights and things like this, you know, guys were getting to see champion versus champion fights. You know, this guy said, I don't understand how fans nowadays would rather see John Jones fight, you know, Thiago Santos's and all these contenders, instead of fighting, you know, these champion versus champion fights. Now, my answer to that is, I think guys that think that way, you're not really watching all the fights, you know, because if you were watching these contenders that you're talking down on, I think if you were really watching every fight the way that you advertise, I think that you'd be more interested. But since you don't watch every fight and you likely only watch the big cards, that's why you sound this way. So it's one thing to say that the competition of today, you know, in the 205-pound division or in the middleweight division or the welterweight division are not, you know, at the same caliber as guys, you know, years ago. It's one thing to say that. So how could contenders that are in these divisions, because they're not as skilled as guys we saw in the past, it's one thing to say that, but to say it, why would you rather see John Jones fight these contenders versus seeing him fight, you know, Daniel Cormier at heavyweight? That just honestly makes me think, like, you're not watching every fight. Like, you must not be watching Thiago Santos's move from middleweight to light heavyweight and the success he's had. You must not have been watching Anthony Smith's move from middleweight to light heavyweight and see the success that he's had. You must not be watching, you know, the light heavyweight division at all and seeing, you know, a lot of these exciting contenders that are coming up. You must not have watched any of the, you know, three Johnny Walker fights that he's given us, which don't even add up to a total of 5 minutes with the three finishes that he has. I'm sure you haven't seen any of those either. So I just don't understand. Like, you must not have watched Jimmy Crute's last fight, you know. So I don't understand what guys are watching making these statements, because if you
well,
think
let me help you out. You know what, Keith? Me and you, we are diehard fans. Me and you love the sport of the UFC. We don't like the business of the UFC, but we love the sport of the UFC. When you brought up the GSP BJ Penn super fight, you know why that fight happened? Because guess what? They defended their belts a certain number of times, and at the time, you know, they wanted this test themselves in the spirit of competition against each other. Then, after that fight, they went back to competing in their own division. They didn't try to bounce around from this division to that division. Let me go chase after this guy. They didn't do that. They understood the importance of being a fighting champion. You know, being a guy that wanted the division to be propped on his shoulders. These days, man, these guys, in a way, we can't fault them as fans. They want to make the most money they can make as fast as they can make it, because you never know when your career could come to an end. So basically, these guys, they want to get in, and they want to make as money as fast as they can, you know, try to get as many big fights as possible. But us as the fan, as the real fan, we trying to get cheated, because now we're in this era of the UFC. And you actually said this on Twitter the other day. The UFC is now in an era of entertainment instead of an era of being a quality sports company. You know what I'm saying? So I'm tripping right now, and I just wish they would just get back to the old days and make guys fight each other, and guys want to fight each other. So it's tough. I kind of agree with you. I won't want to see Stipe coming off a long layoff fight, one of the best fighters in the world. I don't think he will probably have his best showing, especially against a guy like John, who has so much talent and his skill set is so top notch. I wouldn't want Stipe, because let's say if John was to dominate him, do we think he would get a shot at Daniel Cormier anytime soon? No, because you know what everybody's going to say? If John did that to him, guess what? DC is the second best fighter in the world. Guess what he's going to do to him? But John and DC are two different fighters. So I think it'll definitely be a fight people want to see. But, man, I just want the UFC to get back to being a sports-based organization instead of an entertainment-based organization. You said that on Twitter. I was going to comment the other day, but I knew we were going to have a show this week. So I saved it to then. And I would say a diehard fan of the UFC, I'm kind of disappointed sometimes in some of the ways that they go about making fights and the reasons why they make fights. But at the same time, we have to look at it as if we have to look at it this way too. We just got a good fight Saturday, man, between Pettis and Till. You know, nobody would have thought Pettis would have pulled off the knockout of Till, but those two guys got in there and matched up against each other for the spirit of competition. And when the fight was first made, if you recall, I was happy. I was like, man, I'm glad Pettis going up to test his skills, you know, against another quality fighter. And, you know, a lot of people was like, man, you know, I really don't like this fight. Till probably going to run through him. And Till was basically dominating him with the jab, but, you know, Till is one of them guys that keep his hands down, so he always could get caught. So if the UFC needs to reexamine the way they go about matchmaking, I wish they could bring the old guys back, like Fertitta, and I can't remember the other matchmaker name. I'm going to have to look that up one day, and I'm going to definitely give him a shout-out one day on this show because I miss the way they made fights back then. I hate to keep rambling on and on, but that's my point. Let's get back to the era of sports and competition instead of the era of entertainment.
Now, I have some other news that actually just broke as you were just talking. Now, I don't know if I'm a few minutes late or a few hours late or something. I'm pretty sure it just dropped from the UFC official. But this announcement right here that I'm about to just make it. You know, if anyone listened to the show and you don't know it yet, I'm gonna tell you this right now. So, at UFC 238, they have a main event, and the main event is going to be for the world bantamweight champ, the vacant bantamweight championship. Henry Cejudo fighting Marlon Moraes on June 8th, and I think that card's in Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in Chicago, actually. I'm not even going to make that claim. But, yeah, UFC 238, they just put that out. That's going to be the main event, Cejudo versus Moraes for the bantamweight championship. And in the picture, they got Cejudo with his belt on his shoulder. I don't know what the hell is going on with the UFC now, man, because he's supposed to be the flyweight champion. And wasn't he the one campaigning that he was going to save the flyweights, but now he's moving up to bantamweight to fight for that title? So doesn't that actually kill the flyweights? Because you just actually almost gained back relevance for the division, but now you basically just destroyed them and buried them again by moving away from the division? Or am I missing something? I don't know. I'm kind of confused about this guy. You're looking like a hypocrite right now, Cejudo. You're really looking like a hypocrite.
Me, you know what? If it was me making the fight, I would have him vacate the flyweight belt since he signed on the dotted line to fight Marlon Moraes for the bantamweight belt. And I will put, I don't know why I keep messing this guy's name up. Is it Ben? I would have Formiga versus Benavidez for the vacant flyweight belt. I would just take the belt from him. Just to keep the flyweight division alive. But, like me and you talked about last show, I think the UFC is really trying to kill the flyweight division. And the best way to do that is you have Cejudo move up. Basically, he takes the flyweight belt with him, and then you make an announcement that the flyweight division is ceased to exist. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happened after the UFC Chicago fight, because they could make an interim fight for the flyweight belt. They could have Formiga versus, man, is it Bermudez or Benavidez? I'm going to have to look that up. I'm tired of messing that up, man. So, but me and you, we had a feeling this was going to happen because Cejudo, when he beat TJ, at 125, they immediately said that they were going to rematch at 135. And then once he dropped the belt, that was the next thing that happened. So, I mean, we're not shocked, but we're just disappointed. That's what I should say. We're just disappointed in the way it played out. Am I a fan of Cejudo? I would say no. Am I a fan of Moraes? I would say hell yeah. Do I think if DJ Demetrius Johnson was still in the UFC at 125 as a champ, when they try to fold a division, I would say no, because he was probably one of the most dominant champions in the UFC history. And I just think that's why I think the way his fight played out is so shaky to me that, you know, once they traded him, the next thing we hear about is the UFC is going to flyweight division. But I'm not surprised that they got Cejudo versus Moraes. I hope Moraes get him that business, and then you'll see him run back down to 125.
All right, 1 second. We have a caller on the line right now. I want to jump them into the call and see what they got to say about this. 1 second. Hey, we got on the line.
Hey, guys, it's Evan again.
What's going on, Evan?
How you doing?
Good,
what's
doing,
up,
bro?
Evan?
I'm not too excited about the news about the Cejudo fight. I don't agree with the matchmaking. I understand from a business standpoint, it makes money because a lot of people shit on the John Jones Smith fight because, you know, no one really knew who Smith was, but, you know, it still sold certain pay-per-views. So, like, it's not like you always need, you know, like, both challenger and champion to have a name. Like, you know, Shevchenko is going to fight Jessica Eye, and, like, not too many people are familiar with, you know, Jessica Eye. So, like, that's a perfect
fight. I am.
Like, I think she's exciting. I think she's finally getting, because I know she's made claims that she's been waiting for the flyweight division for a women's flyweight division. She finally got it, and look at her now. She's getting the title shot. So,
Evan,
you know,
Evan, can I just interject real quick? Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
The people that aren't familiar with Jessica Eye don't watch fights.
No.
I'm sick of these people, man.
It's
aggravated me lately. People don't even watch fights, and then they don't even watch all the fights, and then they just go and spew their hot take opinions all over Twitter, man. It's really disgusting. Like, and I don't even, you know, I don't even say anything about, you know, everyone wants to call each other a casual fan. I don't even really say that word, but it is kind of getting aggravating. People that don't even know who's in what division, and then saying, oh, who's this guy? You don't watch the division. That's why you don't know who the fighters are. It doesn't make any sense. How about you start watching all the fights and stop just watching the big name fights, and you won't sound like a moron every time you talk about UFC. Jesus Christ. All right, go ahead. My bad.
No, it's all about the prelims. Like, no one watches prelim fighters anymore. Like, they don't understand that, like,
and there's excellent fights on the prelims.
I will always go back. I will always use this as an example. Kyle Bochniak was supposed to be on the Fight Pass prelims that was supposed to open the night at 6:15, the night that he fought on the card that Khabib fought on. That was supposed to be the opening fight on Fight Pass. Got bumped up to the main card of the pay-per-view, and then now Zabit's a star. But, like, just the example that he was supposed to be on the Fight Pass prelims.
That was a really good point.
You have to give the Fight Pass a chance, or you know,
that was a haymaker of a point, bro.
Right?
Lee, you hear what he just said?
But that was something that me and you said anyway. We said that.
Well, yeah, but I'm just
guys. Because you know what, Evan? Me and my man Keys, we talked about this last year. You know, when the UFC had all those events, you know, they was having event after event after event after event. So, you know, I was at the point where I was, like, it's oversaturation. And I was like, I think the UFC should use the fight night cards as a way to showcase the guys ranked. Keith, what we say, 8 through 15? 6 through 15, something like that? We was like, use the guys ranked 6 through 15 so the UFC audience can come better, can know the guys better. They know who they are. So, you know, we won't just look at them as like, who is this guy? I never heard of this guy before. If you use the fight nights in that capacity, that way you showcase your up-and-coming next generation fighters instead of, you know, like the beat, like what you said. That was a great point. He was pushed onto the main card, and next thing you know, everybody know his name. Now, he got lucky. Would everybody know his name if he would have stayed on the prelims or on Fight Pass? Maybe, maybe not. But at the same time, he took advantage of that opportunity. The UFC has to become better in promoting the guys and the girls ranked 6 through 15. Because that way, when we see them in spotlight fights, we know who they are. We're not having to go to YouTube to look up highlights for their fights. We're not having to go look at their bio or their win-loss record to see who they fought.
That's it.
It's just a thing that just like with the NBA, I'll use this. The NBA has a G League. That's where the guys that, you know, they might make a roster go at to work on their game, but, you know, they still get quality coaching. You know, they still get to work on their game and get paid. The prelims and fight pass and stuff like that should be used to bring along your up-and-coming, not developing talent, because you shouldn't have developing talent in the UFC. You should have people that's ready to take that mantle when John Jones goes away, when Stipe goes away, when DC goes away, when Max Holloway goes away, when Aldo goes away. When all these guys that we done grew up with in the last 10 years, when they start to fade away, we need to be comfortable and familiar with the guys they phasing in to take those spots.
I agree. I like that. I actually like that idea to have to use the fight pass as more of a platform for like rising prospects, you know.
And they don't. And the thing is they don't advertise guys the right way, because I make fine. Okay, so for the Scrap News. Okay, first of all, shout out the Scrap News. Shout out everybody at the Scrap News. If you don't know the Scrap, go to the scrap.co right now in your search bar and go check out some good reads on MMA and all types of content. So anyways, we write for the Scrap News. And, you know, one thing that I pretty much, like, specialize in is doing the underrated fights on every card. So, you know, I don't do, you know, the big main card fights to watch. I'm doing cards that are on the prelims and and fights that are on the prelims or on early prelims fight pass that are going under the radar fights. So those are the ones that I, you know, do research on. I look into all those fighters and their early careers, amateur careers, early pro fights, and this promotion, that promotion, and, you know, what they specialize in, and why these guys are important, what they've done, you know, championships. And this is the thing that I realized while I'm doing this. You know, a lot of these guys don't even get promoted the right way. And I'm going to just say one example right now. So in one of my newest pieces, I wrote up a thing about a fight, because you have a Ray Borg fight coming out. So everybody knows Ray Borg from the flyweight division. So Ray Borg had like an opponent or two drop out from this weekend's card. And you know, a lot of people, I bet, didn't even know Ray Borg was on this weekend's card. That you know, thank you, UFC. Okay, so Ray Borg had two opponents drop out. Now it's his second or third opponent that just stepped in to fight Ray Borg is making his UFC debut. This guy, hold on, I'm gonna pull up his record right now. But his name's Casey Kenny, and he's coming from LFA, and he's making his UFC debut. Yeah, so, okay, words. That's Casey Kenny right there. This dude's a straight beast, a stud of a fighter. He's a double champion from LFA, and he's stepping in on short notice. Now, when I say short notice, I'm talking about Max Holloway. Yeah, Max Holloway, you know, stepping in to fight Khabib type short notice, like Ally Kinta type short, almost Ally Kinta short notice. This guy just fought on the 22nd. This guy just fought 4 days ago. And he knocked out another big rising prospect from LFA who was undefeated. And now he's fighting on, it'll be 8 days notice by the time Saturday comes, against the top flyweight in Ray Borg. So this is one thing that I just realized, is I bet the UFC won't even advertise this guy. And then everyone's going to end up saying, who the fuck, you know, Ray Borg's fighting Casey Kenny. I never heard of this guy. Well, if you had heard of him, you know, and the UFC actually, you know, knew the fighters and actually promoted him on what was going on, you know, to have double champ from another promotion coming on 8 days notice to fight a top contender, you should be promoting him with these facts and tell people these things, because it's interesting and it's amazing and it deserves to be known. People should be hearing about it, because this guy's an absolute stud. And then what's going to happen is eventually, you know, if this guy ends up being in a main event someday, then all of a sudden, just because he's in the main event, now all of a sudden everybody, you know, wants to watch him. But you weren't there on the come up, though. You're missing out on all his good fights, you know, leading up to the point. So that's just hard to say about that. Watch it.
Hey, Keys, can I just I'm not gonna say I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm gonna say this.
No,
you
I'm
know,
good.
With him taking such a short notice, though, don't you think it would have been as hard for the UFC to promote him, being that he's taking a fight a week out, instead of he was like, let's say if he was originally slated to fight Borg when they originally announced the card, then they could be like, okay, we got this guy coming from LFA. You know, he got 11-1-1 record. He's a double champ, whatever, whatever. You know, that way they could build a hype up around the guy versus, you know, him taking a fight on short notice. Because let's just look at Josh Emmett. He made his name over taking the Ricardo Lamas fight on short notice, and he knocked Lamas out, who was on the hot streak at the time. And then when we look at Emmett now, it's like, did he get lucky when he knocked Lamas out? Or is he really good? We'll find out about Emmett Saturday when he fight Michael Johnson. So only thing I'm saying about your man Kenny is I don't think the UFC had the proper amount of timing to get him the shine he need. So, but I guarantee you, if he wins, you and her John Anik and them going crazy over on that announce team, hyping him up about he's the next new star. You know, we found a good talent from LFA. You know, he's no fluke, blah, 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 blah. I think if he wins, they would definitely go hard with the praise. And then if he was to lose, I think you'll have us as the fans saying, you know, maybe he ain't ready. You know, maybe he just need a true fight camp under his belt. So we'll see what happens Saturday. What you think, Evan?
I agree. I see both sides. You know, of course, you know, the short time, it's hard to promote, but, you know, you could try and just do what you can. But I did want to bring something up. I don't know if you guys talked about it yet. I don't know how long you guys have been on for, but I figured I'd see what everybody else's opinion. I think we may have talked about it on Twitter like a tiny bit, but what are our thoughts about Greg Hardy getting another co-main event spot?
I'll let Key start on this one. I'll chime in after him.
Yo, I'm disgusted with this guy. Yo, I'm disgusted with this guy. And this is another big reason why I'm growing so tired of watching the UFC lately, because this is just another huge thing about the entertainment era that we are being forced down our throat with, is these fighters. Now, one thing that I really love too, first of all, I wanted to say this. Greg Hardy, I haven't actually done all the research on this guy, but I'm pretty sure he puts his hands on women, so he would already just be ruled out of the equation for Lee to even give a damn about the co-main event. So I'm not surprised he had me go first, but anyways, yeah, so he loses a lot of respect from me right off the bat from that. Yeah. Lee's taking
you know
a smoke
me,
break
bro.
Lee's taking a smoke break during the Hardy fight this Saturday. Believe that. This guy's a loser. I have no interest in watching him fight in the UFC. I'm sick of this whole thing. I mean, you have all these guys, way more guys that have put in way more work than this loser, Greg Hardy, you know, and the UFC don't. This is what I mean about not promoting guys. And there's other guys that should be in the co-main event spot. If you actually put fighters that you know down the line, guys end up saying, "Oh, who's this fighter?" Maybe you should have put that "who's this fighter" in the co-main event instead of this bum Greg Hardy. This is why it don't work. Is because you don't promote the right guys. You promote woman beaters like this loser, you know, in the co-main event. And you know, I was so happy because I saw UFC heavyweight Juan Adams on Twitter. You know, he usually says some funny stuff, but this guy actually exposed the whole co-main event and just pointed out how they're actually having Greg Hardy fight what you would call a tomato can, you know, just to prove that he's a legitimate fighter in MMA. They're taking a guy who was cut from the UFC already. After he lost a couple fights when he come in, he was cut from the UFC, and now they're bringing him back so he could just get beat up by Greg Hardy just to prove, to put him over with the fans so they could think he's legit in MMA. But you know, I'm not watching that fight. I'm changing the channel because I don't give a damn about his career. That's how I feel. I don't care.
Before we continue on that, I just saw on Twitter, Brett Okamoto just posted that getting John Jones, Santos, and Amanda Nunes versus Holly Holm both verbally agreed to headline UFC 239 on July 6th.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So it's like a stupid fight that happened.
Yes. Thank you, Evan. But I'm gonna keep it short about Greg Hardy. Me personally, Evan, you don't know me, but I'm a guy that I don't like domestic violence guys. A man should never put his hands on a woman. I have said on many times, and I put it on Twitter, I said it on our show. That's one of the reasons why I don't like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather's a great boxer. He's a horrible man. If you look at his history of domestic violence alone, I don't see how guys could support him. You know, how could you support a guy? He gets paid to be a pugilist. His hands are considered weapons. Why would you use those hands on a woman that's smaller than you? Smaller than you, weaker than you, and you know, basically more, and she's submissive to you, being that you're the man. So I'm not a fan of domestic abusers. Greg Hardy, backstory on him. When he was in the NFL, Greg Hardy was accused of domestic abuse. They said he beat his girlfriend up, choked her, had her lay on a pile of guns on his couch, and forbid her to leave the house for 2 or 3 days. He went to court. They found him guilty. Then he appealed, and they couldn't find the young lady. Some people say he may have paid the lady off, you know, la, 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 la. That's neither here nor there. He was convicted on the charge of domestic abuse the first time around. That's good enough for me. Why did UFC continue to try to push this guy as a star in an organization I would never understand? Having him on the same card as Ostrovich was already a bad look because she had just got to an incident with her husband with domestic abuse. Why would you have Greg Hardy on the same card? That goes to show you the UFC doesn't care about optics. Now, to have this guy on a co-main event, what has he done to warrant being in that prestigious spot of the card? I can tell you, he has done nothing. He's 3-1. He had 4 fights. I guess he was in the Dana White Fighter Contender Series, and Dana basically brought him up to the UFC big leagues. And his first fight, he got DQ'd because he didn't know the rules. Only thing you're doing with Greg Hardy is you're using him for his name, for what he used to be in the NFL. You are not looking out for your female fan base. I think the UFC, maybe if they all put him up against a tomato can, maybe they set him up for failure down the road. because we all know the cream rises to the top. If you are not good, you'll get exposed. If you are good, you know, the UFC fan base will embrace you, because they're going to embrace you based on your skill set. I don't think Greg Hardy is good. I think they set him up for failure, and we'll see what happens when he fights in this co-main event thing. Like Keith said, I won't watch it. You know, I'll be waiting for Twitter to respond to it. I won't be watching it. All right, Evan, it's on you, buddy. Take it home on Greg Hardy.
I agree on everything, you know, the domestic abuse and just everything. And, you know, I understand at first, you know, they needed that name with the January card. They needed that co-main event that made sense, which I'm sure they could have found anywhere else. But also, I just found out that Mike Perry is going to take on Cowboy Oliveira on that same card. That is a perfect co-main event that can be put as a co-main event instead of that. Because, yeah, everybody knows Greg Hardy, but his baggage is not good publicity. It's awful. He's already got the domestic abuse you know, accusations, and then he does a horrible thing in his debut, and then you're going to be like, here's another co-main event with against a basic nobody who gets to be on the poster when no one knows who he is. Like, they're just, their promotion makes no sense sometimes, and hopefully they fix it, but obviously they probably won't. So, and who knows, you know, I don't even care because I don't, you know, his skill set to me is just going to be very minimal. Like, I'd like to, like, if anything, I'd like to see him fight, like, Francis Ngannou just to see what honestly happened.
All right, Keith, what's next, boss? What else do you want to talk about, man? I'm amped up today.
Yeah, so, I'm happy to see Mike Perry back. You know, I thought, you know, the fight I was hoping for was Mike Perry versus Thiago Alves. I was hoping to see that one, but we were supposed to get that one. I think it was sometime last year or late in the previous year, but I know they were matched up before, and then it fell through, and Mike Perry ended up having to knock out somebody else instead. So, not saying that I. That's the truth. That's the truth. They fed him some other guy, and he had to knock him out instead. So, not assuming that Mike Perry can knock out anybody. He can't. But I'm just him and Thiago Alves would be a really good scrap, I think. And but it's all good.
I think him and Cowboy Oliveira is going to be a very good fight. I think that it won't be one of your underrated fights on that card. But it will be a very good fight. I think it'll be very competitive. Not to cut you off, but go ahead, bro.
Is that on this weekend's card? Because I already submitted.
No, that is April 27th on the Yoel Jacare rematch card.
Greg Hardy card.
Man, don't reference the card like that. It is not his. You know what? Hey, you know what? Spinning off that is Jacare actually. I saw some news. Jacare did an interview and he basically said that he's rematching Yoel Romero. So this really is like, I mean, Jacare just knocked out Weidman, Romero just knocked out Rockhold. So, I mean, both these guys, I would think this is pretty much like a number one contender fight. And then you have Whittaker and Gastelum are fighting. Whittaker and Gastelum fighting? Oh, no.
Gastelum's fighting Adesanya.
Yeah. There's so many other, like, alternate title fights. I don't even know, like, what happened to the champions anymore. But anyways, hopefully Whittaker gets well soon. For some reason, I thought they were fighting at the next card, but it's not. Your friend Adesanya. Okay, so, but I still think it's a number one contender fight. I mean, you still have the interim bout. I mean, that's cool, but I'm sure, like, the winner will fight. And then after that, you know, the winner of Romero and Jacare, I don't see how you don't have them fight for the title, you know, after, you know, those next couple ones get done, you have them fight. I mean, Jacare did say, though, in an interview that if he doesn't get it, if he expects to, I mean, obviously everyone expects to win. He's saying after he beats Romero that if he doesn't get a title shot, then he's just going to retire. So now this is something that the UFC fails on again, is that Jacare has been winning it in the UFC for too long. I don't recall him ever getting a title shot. Am I wrong? Does anyone recall Jacare ever getting a title shot? Did I miss it? I don't recall it. You know, maybe somebody else saw the title fight with Jacare. I don't recall seeing it, but I'm pretty sure he never got a title shot. And I think it's totally justified for a guy like that, you know, with as many wins as he's had, many killers he's fought, and guys he's dominated. Jacare is a warrior, and I don't see why that they haven't given him a title shot yet. He's been a top five competitor in the division for a long time, and I just don't understand. He's been a top competitive period for a really long time, so I don't understand why he hasn't gotten a shot yet. So I think it's completely justified for a guy. Well, I think you know why too. I was banking on you telling us why.
You know, when you get a title shot, It all depends on when you have your wins and losses. I think with him, every time he would be like one fight away, and then he would lose. And it's like the UFC not going to put a guy coming off a loss in a title fight. So it was like he lost, like when he lost to Whitaker. Because if you look at his record, it's like win-loss, win-loss, win-win, loss-win. So it was like every time he would be one fight away, he would lose. So it's just bad timing on his losses. I agree with him. If he beat Yoel Romero, he should get a title shot. But we know that's not going to happen. We know that's not going to happen because Whitaker is going to get the winner of the Adesanya-Gastelum fight. So he's just going to have to wait time for that fight if he beat Yoel. I don't know what's up with this thing lately that if I don't get my way, I retire. But in Jacare's case, he has to look at his performances when he's been one fight away. When you're one fight away, you got to win that fight to get your opportunity. You can't be in a championship fight coming off a loss.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Especially with how much talent is in the middleweight division, because it's continuing to grow. I mean, I'm blanking on a few, you know, top middleweights, but clearly we have, you know, Whitaker needs to defend again, obviously against someone who's not Yoel Romero, and then I think it's too soon for Adesanya, not the title shot, but just I don't think he's going to do so well against Gastelum. I think Gastelum might honestly knock him out in, like, the first round. I know the reach is there for Adesanya, so he can obviously pick him out on the outside and kind of keep him at bay. But, you know, that only works for so long. It's going to work. But then, like, that one time where you're like, all right, I've been keeping him at range. You know, maybe I'll mess with him a little bit. That one little snip, snap, second, and then boom, Gastelum hits it with the left hand. And I just don't think, besides, like, Brunson, Adesanya hasn't really faced anyone with, like, legit maybe power. I know he got knocked out in kickboxing, but, like, in the UFC, in his UFC career, he's only fought so many named people. And, you know, Silva, not going to have the knockout power that, you know, is going to do it. But, and Brunson's just, he's a weird fighter. He's either on or he's off, 50-50 with him. But Gastelum's going to be on, and he's going to be swinging that left hand. So I think it's going to be Gastelum. I think Gastelum wins it, honestly. I really do.
I think Israel is going to get him, bro. I think Israel is going to get him because he has the reach advantage. He really doesn't get into striking contests. He uses jab well. He uses kick well. And he really don't get in the clinch that much. But I think if he was to get Kevin in the clinch with him being a taller fighter, I think he probably could do some damage on the inside. I think you'll see a more strategic Israel in this fight. And we both know that Gastelum doesn't have the greatest cardio. So I think if they go to the fourth and fifth rounds, I think Israel will have the advantage over him. I think Gastelum will have to get him out of there early, like you said, in the first or second round. I think once Gastelum gets to the third, middle of the third, going into the fourth and fifth rounds, he might gas out. So, you know, if I had to put my money on it right now, I would probably put my money on Israel in a decision, you know. And if you ask me to put my life on it, I would say Israel would probably win in a decision, five-round decision, probably on three rounds or two. I'd get Kevin probably the first and second round, and I would get Israel 3-5.
Well, because the thing is this, too, that I said about Gastelum before, we talked about this when we thought he was going to fight Robert Whitaker the first time, is just that his cardio, I don't think he can keep up. Well, I didn't think he'd be able to keep up with Whitaker at all. So, I mean, I think this one, maybe he has – Gastelum has a better chance of beating I don't think he's going to be able to – I don't think he can go five rounds. He can go five rounds. I don't know, because Adesanya this honey does, you know, he dictates a pace in his fights. He keeps a good pace. I think he could keep a distance and just outpoint him if he wanted to. Yeah, if I had to put my money on it, I'd probably place a small bet on Adesanya right now. I mean, but then again, you know, Gastelum has heavy hands. You know, he could maybe knock him out if he could figure out his game. I could see Gastelum having a flash knockout.
What's interesting to me is actually you guys make a great point that Gastelum, he's actually only gone to the fifth round once in his career, and it was a main event spot against Neil Magny, which he lost, and the rest five rounds. So that's a very interesting thing to think of. I didn't even really think of that. Honestly, like, in my head, when I see that fight, I just see, you know, like, obviously Izzy's going to be taller, and, like, when you're taller, you know, I don't know if this is, like, a real thing, we got to punch down towards him. And so I just think Gastelum, just that one lucky left shot, and I don't want to bank on a left shot. That's not fair to Gastelum. Clearly he's got the skill set to be a champion, and he's pretty much almost right there. So I think if it's not, like, a straight left, you know, he might even, like, just kind of glance, like, slip and maybe hit him with an overhand and kind of go over, and then Izzy won't even see it, and then just, you know, just hits him clean. And I think if I honestly were to bet on it, I really do think Gastelum gets it done. Probably, yeah, 1-3. He's got probably 3 rounds to get it. There's not going to be that much. I don't think there's going to be much grappling or wrestling in this fight. So cardio, you know, cardio should be fine because it could just be, you know, a straight up striking match, which, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But I hope, honestly, all in all, I just hope we see a good fight, and I hope it's not like a boring, you know, decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think besides like the star power of it, you know, there's people out there that, you know, are true experts, or you know, they're able to see all like the little things that are happening within a fight. I mean, I'm not at that level where I can analyze the fight and really be like, you know, piece by piece, this is what happened, you know, because like there were people like that were looking at the, you know, his last fight, you know, Adesanya and Anderson Silva's fight, and people that were playing that back and saying like, wow, this was like an amazing, you know, striking contest, an amazing technical striking contest, and I just wasn't able to, I guess I just wasn't able to see that, you know, from that perspective. I mean, I didn't necessarily think it was boring. I was still interested in it. You know, I thought maybe they could have done a little bit more, but, you know, they could have been a little bit more, but I don't know. I mean, Adesanya, I mean, I still think we haven't seen that much of what Adesanya can do yet. I mean, I don't know. He's had, you know, mostly decision wins in the UFC, and I don't know. I really don't – I don't know. I still need time to – look at that one more. I don't really know. But, you know, one thing to ask you guys about watching Zaleski Dos Santos.
Watching what?
His name is Zaleski Dos Santos. He just, everyone's been talking about everyone's been talking about Curtis Millender or Melender.
Okay, yeah.
Curtis Millender, you know, he's at welterweight. Well, both guys are at welterweight, but Millender's been catching a lot of steam lately. You know, he went on a big run, and he actually got finished by Zaleski Dos Santos. I think it was in the first round. That was at the – it was a card recently, I forget. But Dos Santos is a beast, man. He pretty much stopped the Millender hype train. I mean, not that Millender isn't as good as they say he is, but, I mean, Zaleski Dos Santos just pretty much brought that area, you know, of mixed martial arts to Millender, where he just wasn't ready. I mean, he wasn't ready for Dos Santos' ground game. You know, he didn't have an answer for it, and I'm pretty sure Dos Santos submitted him. I forget the specifics of it, but I remember, I believe it was a first-round submission.
I think
he's not even in the top 10.
Who's not in the top 10?
dude you're talking about?
Oh yeah, Dos Santos. I'm pretty sure he like, I'm pretty sure he just cracked the top 15. Like he's probably like ranked. He might actually be ranked number 15 in the rankings right now. Maybe 14.
Okay.
Because I know Rocco Martin just cracked the. I'm pretty sure Rocco Martin just cracked the top 15 too. So both of those two guys are brand new to the welterweight rankings, but they're both guys that really been going on crazy runs. You know, in the unranked side of things. So those are two brand new guys for the welterweight division, which pretty much just adds. And one thing too is that they just came out with the announcement today. You're gonna know who Zaleski Dos Santos is once you see this fight because he's actually fighting Neil Magny. You got Neil Magny versus Zaleski Dos Santos. I forget what card it is, but I know I saw that announcement today. So if you don't know him now, you're gonna know him when he beats Neil Magny.
Yeah, he's number 14 and Neil Magny is number 13. So he's fighting to go up and Neil is fighting to stay relevant.
What the? You okay? Today is like the fight day. I hate to keep interrupting. I feel bad, but today is like the fight day to announce like these crazy fights. But apparently, just broke now that Woodley is going to rematch Lawler on June 29th.
Why? Wow.
I have no idea.
They just announced that too?
Literally, Brett Okamoto just tweeted that literally like a minute ago.
Okay.
No idea.
Okay. The fight with Magny and Dos Santos, I see what they're doing with this fight. They're basically putting Dos Santos in there against a guy who's basically been in the octagon with a bunch of proven guys. He even has probably some top five, top 10 wins on this belt. So I like the way they're doing this with him instead of using the Yair Rodriguez method. You know, you let a guy earn his way up. You don't push him to the top. You let him earn his way to the top. You know, whereas like with Yair Rodriguez, how they had him fight a couple guys that weren't ranked, and then he fought another guy that was ranked, and then they put him in there against Frankie Edgar. And Frankie killed the hype train. You have to do that with these young guys. You can't have them fight guys that aren't ranked and then have them fight guys ranked 13. I mean, then you fight a guy that's ranked 14 and then you put him against a top five guy. You can't do that. You have to get a guy time enough to grow within the fight game. Try to work on their skills, work on their weaknesses, test themselves against guys that are of equal ranking, and then if they prove themselves, you move them up accordingly. You can't rush guys to be in championship fights because once they lose a little bit of confidence. You know, then the hype is gone, and then what can you do basically as an organization to put the hype back on the guy? Because we just saw his performance. We know that he's not ready. So basically you have to go back to the drawing board on how you market a person. I like what they're doing with Dos Santos. That's a smart way to move the guy up, to also give us as the fans, we get to find out who this guy's about. You know, we get to see him grow. You know, we get to see him fight a Neil Magny, who we done seen in classic fights. You know, some more action packed than others. Some where he had good performances, some where he had bad performances. But Neil Magny is a name. So I like this fight for Dos Santos. But to get to this Woodley and Lawler, I don't understand this. Especially as Tyron is trying to get back into the title picture. Tyron should be fighting either RDA or Ponzinibbio. He should not be fighting Lawler, a guy who he took the belt from, a guy who's coming off a loss. What does that do for Woodley? That does nothing for Woodley, but it does everything for Lawler. It gets Lawler back into championship, you know, conversation. You know, people then start thinking, well, you know, if the ref would have did his job, maybe he would have stopped him when he was you know, give an Askren them 10 to 15 unanswered shots you know, and people start looking at him as maybe a possibility for another title run. This only benefits Lawler. It does nothing for Woodley. Only thing it does for Woodley is say he beat Lawler twice. That's all it does. I just don't understand the purpose behind making this match. That's all. I just don't understand it. Keith, help me out with this, bro. Help me out, because Woodley is your boy.
All right. I was waiting for you to cue me in that whole time. All right, so tag me in. All right, so basically, you know, I had thought about the possibility of this happening, seeing that they both lost on the UFC 235 card. I thought about what if they made that fight. I mean, it doesn't really, like you said, make sense for Woodley to fight Lawler, a guy he already beat, plus, you know, it doesn't really move him anywhere. Like, if Lawler would have beat Woodley, then Lawler's going to be in Lawler, you know, basically you could put him for a title shot after that. You know, maybe. You know, he's pretty much, like, right in there again. And then, you know, if Woodley wins, you know, he doesn't really do that much for Woodley. You know, I would have rather seen Woodley fight a guy that he doesn't know if he can beat. You know, if he's already knocked him out once, you know, I think that Woodley has a confidence that he can catch him on the chin again. I mean, I'll watch any Woodley fight. Like, I'm going to be excited for that fight. But, I mean, in terms of, like, their careers, I don't really understand why that was the fight to make. You know, because I, out of all of them, yeah, I would have wanted to see Woodley versus Ponzinibbio or Woodley and RDA, but then RDA end up actually fighting Kevin Lee. So you probably would have had to do Woodley versus Ponzinibbio, which I would have been a lot more interested in Woodley versus Ponzinibbio than Woodley and Lawler too, because we already saw that fight, and we already saw what happened. And I'm not at this point saying that that's going to happen again. I really don't know what's going to happen. It's not – I don't even know when's the date on the fight, and I don't even know how far away it is or how soon it is, but I'm not ready.
June 29th.
I'm not ready. June 29th?
Yep, Milwaukee.
June – okay, so I'm not ready to give I'm not ready to give any prediction yet on that, but I do just don't understand. I mean, it's just an iffy fight to me. I don't really know what's going on. I mean, if I was Woodley – you know, and looking at it as his fan, that fight to me is just a fight to get his confidence back. That's what I really think that is fighting a guy that he knows he can beat, that he's confident he can go in there and knock out again and wake the fans back up, get the fans back on his side, give himself a sense of confidence again that he can go in there and fight with these top guys, you know, Covington and Usman and whoever else, you know. And hopefully Ponzinibbio. But anywho, yeah, that's all I really can get from that. Is just
can I give you a conspiracy theory?
Yeah, I love conspiracy theories.
Hey, Evan, are you ready for the conspiracy theory?
I think Evan actually – it says Evan dropped out the call. I think he might have disconnected.
Okay, Keith, my conspiracy theory, you probably follow me on this. Really took the Lawler fight, so Askren wouldn't have to rematch Lawler. What you think?
Wait, what did you just say? Say it again.
Really took the Lawler fight, so Askren wouldn't have to rematch Lawler. What do you think?
I could see that being that seems pretty legit. I mean, because now it's like now that Lawler was off the table, now. Askren, all of a sudden, now they're in talks of, you know, Askren fighting Masvidal. So, I guess that chess move kind of did work out for, you know, all parties involved. Yeah, that seems like a pretty legit theory.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because I know him and Askren, those are, they boys. And I know that Pierre has been saying that he didn't want to rematch Lawler. So I'm thinking Woodley may have took the fight so Askren wouldn't. So But I don't see, once again, I don't see how this benefits Woodley. This fight only benefits Lawler if he wins. And I think if Woodley loses, it pushes him further away from being in the title picture, from the title picture. I think if Woodley loses to Lawler, does he move up to welterweight, you know, to try to reestablish himself as a dominant fighter in the UFC? Or do he become a fledgling welterweight? I think Woodley is going about this the wrong way. Fight guys that are in the top five. I know Robbie is a name, but at this point in Robbie's career, he's just a name. You have to be looking, especially if you basically want to say that you want to be mentioned in the same breath as GSP. You can't take this fight, man. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, no, it's I don't know. It's looking a little bit dark for my boy right now. It's a little bit dark, but we're gonna have to just see what happens and we'll let it play out, and you know, hopefully he gets another fight after that one. I'm not trying to look too far ahead, but hopefully he plans to get a bigger fight after that one. Maybe he can when Usman beats, well, I don't even know what's gonna happen, because I don't even know if I'm gonna watch the Usman and Covington fight, honestly. I really don't care about them two guys that much, but especially with having to buy the pay-per-views now, I can't afford to buy every UFC pay-per-view, man. That thing's crazy. I can't go watch that tomorrow. Like, so basically now I have to like really pick and choose like which UFC event pay-per-view that I want to watch. So like, if you're gonna tell me that like we're headlining the card with Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington, like, man, I don't know if my wallet can afford to buy the pay-per-view for that fight, because that's just, that sounds like a snooze of a fight to me, and I just can't do it. So, I mean, if we were going to not have that and say Woodley's going to fight Lawler and then he's going to fight Covington after, then that would actually be exciting, because, you know, belt or no belt, I still want to see Woodley versus Covington. Like, I don't really care about for a title or whatever. I just want to see them guys fight still. So I just hope if Woodley's going to fight Lawler, then he's going to be hungry to fight a Covington or Usman, you know, after that, and still go back after his belt and still be hungry to fight the best guys in the world. And no moving up to middleweight, man. You don't got to move up to middleweight. I don't even like the fact that he was talking about that. You know, forget the middleweight. You got to at least get your belt back first before you even think about another division. Forget the middleweight. So that's what I'm going to leave out on that. And, you know, we went a little bit over time, so we got to start closing it up. But anyways, it was a great show. I appreciate Evan. You know, shout out to our boy Evan for jumping on and chopping it up with us. Shout out to the Scrap News. You know, everybody go check out thescrap.co and go check out all the content over there. Me and Lee write, you know, a whole bunch of pieces for him. Lee's got a whole bunch of nice pieces for him, you know, with different angles and, you know, he has WWE content, some UFC content. You know, we got tons of stuff over there. So just go check out thescrap.co and yeah, that's pretty much. That's all I got for that right there. Lee, you have the floor.
Yeah, you know, I really haven't done a dedication in a while for our show. I want to dedicate this show to the Scrap News, man. You know, they have gave me and my man Keys a platform to write articles for them, to basically, you know, to give us another platform to reach out to our fans, listeners of our show, our Twitter followers. You know, my man Keys, he's definitely been grinding with the articles. I think Keys is like two to three articles a week. Whereas me, I do one article a week, but I normally make that article something that'll get you to thinking. You know, my articles, I finished one today, Keys. You'll be it'll definitely be enlightening. Thank you for your vote of confidence on the articles I'll be writing. I know you were definitely looking forward to the last one I wrote, the UFC and ESPN partnership. You know,
yeah,
I've been waiting
to do that one for a while.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that one because I wanted to make sure that I had the numbers and stuff right. I wanted to make sure that I expressed my points as being a fan, not being, you know, quote-unquote a journalist, even though I'm not a journalist, but I wanted to speak from a fan's point of view. Yeah, I want to dedicate this show to the Scrap News for giving me and my man Keys another outlet to share our thoughts and our views with the UFC fan base. This show has definitely been one of my – it's probably going to be in the top five, man, because so many announcements came out during the show, and we basically hit all of them up. We're probably going to jump on Twitter here in a minute and voice our opinions again. Thanks for everybody for listening. And then closing, like I've been saying here lately, love, live, laugh. Tell somebody you love them. Live your life the best way you can. And always have a good laugh. Lee and Keys, out.
Give them the peace. You haven't heard a peace in a while, man.
Man, you know, I thought, you know, I'm hitting with a peace, man. Peace.